I kind of liken it to a beach with billions of grains of sand on that beach, and we're looking for the best grain of sand.
In the latest Know Them From Adam podcast, a special edition Know Them From Adam podcast, we are joined by the NFL Senior Director of Broadcast Planning and Scheduling, Michael North. He took some time out tonight after the NFL announced its schedule earlier today for the 2017 season. Many people have no idea how much time, work, and effort goes into putting on a production that includes 256 games and satisfies 32 teams, all the NFL Network broadcast partners, and all the people who have so much at stake for the 2017 NFL season. Again, we caught up with Michael North to have him explain some of the dynamics involved. This is like April 15th for an accountant. This is like the last day of school for a student. This is probably, I would think, one of your grandest days of the year where finally the work is done, is it not?
There's certainly a part of us that feels that way, but there's another part too, and that is the dread and the panic and the anxiety and the terror of what did we miss? You know, we've been looking at enough schedules here over the last 10, 12 weeks that we've got a pretty good feel for which teams might be disappointed or which television networks might feel like, they didn't get everything they wanted. It's always the guys that, you know, we didn't see coming. It's the ones who were really disappointed for something that maybe we overlooked or weren't aware of or, heaven forbid, hadn't been made aware of. So, frankly, these next 24, 48 hours are kind of hold your breath and make sure we really didn't screw anything up.
What do you dread and panic most about and get most anxious about going into that 24 to 48-hour stretch?
What I think we are most concerned about, quite honestly, is a team looking at their schedule and feeling like competitively we really put them in a tough spot. I'll never forget, 8-10 years ago, Steve Spagnuolo was still coaching the Rams, and the schedule came out on release day, and the Rams said all the right things, and everybody said, hey, you just tell us when to show up, and we'll be there. And then about a week later, Coach gave me a call at home on my cell phone and said, hey, look, I'm not complaining. We'll play him in whatever order you line him up for us, but I just want to give you a heads up, you know, what I see here as a member of the National Football League. And he pointed out something like the Rams didn't play their first division game until about week 8 or 9, and they played something like 6 or 7 playoff teams from the previous season all in the first 8 weeks, something like that. And it was something that we kind of overlooked in the course of evaluating the schedule. We were looking at home and away patterns and primetime games and stuff like that and kind of missed what, you know, actually turned out to be pretty glaring. And I remember him saying to me as he hung up the phone, hey, this isn't your problem. It's ours. We'll take care of it. We're going to be just fine. And they weren't. And he lost his job as a result.
Wow.
And I always remember that every time we evaluate a team's schedule. You know, never want to feel like we were responsible for somebody losing their job.
Do you feel like that happened this year where you were even-handed and thoughtful about aligning a team's opponents and schedule?
Yeah, I think we're pretty comfortable. Most years, you know, you've heard this story enough, you know, part art and part science. It's an infinite solution space that you're looking through, hundreds of millions of possibilities, and you're trying to pick the one. It's never going to be perfect. So, you know, every team in the league wants to open at home and close at home and mid-season bye and primetime games at home and don't play anybody coming off their bye. And we don't want to go to Tampa Bay and Jacksonville in September when it's 100 degrees. And we don't want to go to Lambeau and Pittsburgh in December when it's 2 degrees. So, you know, you're not going to be able to accommodate everybody's asks. But when you look at every team's schedule top to bottom as though you were the general manager or the head coach, you don't feel like anybody is looking at this schedule and thinking to themselves, how could they have done this to us? We are absolutely between a rock and a hard place. This is untenable. How could they possibly have done this to us? I think we feel pretty good that nobody's having that reaction today, knock wood.
You know, you bring up that phone call at home from Steve Spagnuolo, and I could tell you as a writer, Michael, a reporter, anytime a head coach was calling you at home, he was never calling you to say, I wanted to let you know I really enjoyed your story today, your report. That never happened. I don't think any coach has ever called you to say, Michael, you did a great job on the schedule for this year. Has that ever happened?
You know what? We're like the game officials, right? The best thing that could happen is nobody knows your name. Nobody notices you. The schedule came out. The television partners are relatively happy. The teams are relatively happy. Move on. You know, if nobody knows our name, if nobody has to tweet at us or call us or email us, that's probably a good thing.
For those who don't know, how do you describe how difficult it is and how complex a task it is to put together a full NFL schedule for a full season?
Well, let's start with the premise. And, you know, you worked here, right? You worked in the league office. You sat in a cubicle. You know that what is good for the marketing department may not necessarily be what the football operations group wanted, or what the officiating department feels is appropriate may not be what the PR department would have hoped for. So you got to multiply that across 32 teams. You know, everybody's got a marketing side of the house. They've got to sell tickets and they've got to get fans in the building. They've got a travel department where they've got to get charter airline flights and hotels. They've got an entertainment group that needs to book anthem singers and halftime acts. And of course, you've got a head coach and a general manager who are, you know, hired and fired based on their record. So we're trying to balance, you know, 32 different bosses, really, because every club's a little bit different. And you're trying to search through, like I said, what is an essentially an infinite solution space. If you think that every team in the league has 16 games, can be played on any one of 17 weeks, any one of five networks, any one of six time slots, you're talking about hundreds of millions of possible schedules just for any one team. You know, there were a handful of our clubs this year on their websites that did guess the schedule and win $1 million. That's the safest $1 million any insurance company ever signed up for. It is absolutely inconceivable that somebody could pick all 16 games exactly right. So I kind of liken it to a beach with billions of grains of sand on that beach, and we're looking for the best grain of sand. However you want to describe that grain of sand, it should be this size, this shape, this color, this weight. You know, however you describe it, the best thing you can do is put as many people as you can on that beach, all looking in slightly different places on that beach, for something that resembles the supposed perfect, mythical, magical grain of sand. And if somebody's getting close, then maybe that guy says to all his buddies, hey, I think I'm close. I'm in the right spot. Let's get some more people over here. Come look in this part of the beach with me. And so then you're pulling people off of a spot in the beach where they don't think they're making any progress. And let's all look over here for a little while and maybe dig a little deeper. So instead of doing, you know, the top layer of the whole beach, let's get in one particular area of the beach and dig down deeper. That's sort of how we liken the process. We drop as many people as we can, as many computers as we can, on this beach, all looking for the same grain of sand, if you will, and then try to find it before the commissioner walks downstairs at some point in April and knocks on the glass and says, hey, let's go. Time to put one out.
And is that what happens? Does Roger Goodell actually walk down, knock on the glass, and come in and see the schedule for the first time?
Not for the first time, no. Howard Katz, my boss, the head of the broadcasting department, meets with Roger on a semi-regular basis, really starting the day after the Super Bowl, and sort of gives him a, here's the type of grain of sand that we're looking for, Commissioner. This is who's going to be on the Sunday night schedule. This is who's going to be on the Monday night schedule. Here's what we're doing with the Super Bowl rematch between the Falcons and the Patriots. Here's what we're thinking about for week one. Here's what we're thinking about for Christmas. And so Howard and the commissioner sort of meet occasionally throughout the process just to sort of checkpoint and agree that we're on the same page. And then with those marching orders, Howard comes back downstairs to the scheduling room and says to us, myself, Blake Jones, and Charlotte Carey, here's what we're looking for. Let's see if we can find it. And then we churn out finished, legal, playable, complete jigsaw puzzles every day, all day, every day. The more computers we have, the more schedules we find. And we try to look through as many of them as we can. And some of them, you know, die a quick death. You look at it and you see a three-game road trip for a team and you say to yourself, absolutely not. I refuse to call that owner with that schedule. Throw it in the garbage. Or I don't like that particular Monday night football game in that stadium on that week, so don't show that to me again. And that team really asked for something specific in weeks 3, 4, 5, and this schedule doesn't give it to them, and I'd like to try to accommodate that, so let's see if we can't do that. And so every day we come in the morning, evaluate the schedules that the computers churned out overnight, find 6 or 8 or 10 decent schedules and then look through them top to bottom, right to left, as though we were the general manager of each of the 32 teams and as though we were the president of each of our 5 network television partners. Try to find the things that are the worst things about the schedule and then write rules to prevent those things from happening in the next run. So stop all the computers, write new rules, basically redefining that grain of sand that you're now looking for, and then redeploy all your people out on the beach again now with new marching orders. This is now the grain of sand you're looking for. Go.
Mike, how many schedules would you say computers churned through to come up with this one that was produced tonight on Thursday night, April 20th?
The way we work is because the solution space is so large, you can't solve the puzzle from a blank piece of paper. You can't say to the computer, here's 0 games locked in, go. That will take, you know, all the computers in the world and all the years of our lifetimes to find the mythical, perfect, magic schedule. And obviously, we don't have that kind of time. So what we do is we build partial schedules, seed schedules, generally built around the primetime schedule. Those are our most constrained games. They're our most watched games. And so what we do is we build partial schedules. Here's a Sunday night schedule plus a Thursday night schedule. Here's a Sunday night schedule plus a Monday night schedule. Here's the Fox and CBS doubleheaders plus the second half Thursday night schedule plus the first half Monday night schedule, stuff like that. So you build 30, 40, 50 game partial schedules, and you kind of evaluate those first. If this schedule can finish, would we play it? Are we happy with the 30 or 40 or 50 games that we've layered in at the beginning? We surely built millions of those partial schedules. Not all of them finished. You lay in 50, you don't know if you can lay in the other 206 until you actually start searching. So we literally built millions of these partial schedules. As far as finished, completed, legal, playable NFL schedules, somewhere probably north of about 50,000. And then of those, maybe 500 advanced to the stage where, hey, let's print it out on a piece of paper, let's hang it on the wall, and let's give it a thorough look. And if not, are we going to play this schedule? Then what about this schedule would we want to fix as we move forward?
So now that we have this schedule hanging on the wall, what is most satisfying and pleasing about it to you?
Well, I'll tell you tomorrow, quite honestly. Today's a hold-your-breath day. Let's see how everybody reacts to it. What tends to happen, quite honestly, is that when we talk to ownership and team presidents today, the response is usually relatively good. They appreciate the effort and the hard work, and hopefully, like I said, there's nobody who looks at their schedule and thinks, oh, my God, how could they do this? We're heading straight for 0-16. What usually happens is another 24 to 48 hours, the schedule gets posted, obviously, on the team website, and then you'll find, you know, a scout or somebody in the player personnel department or somebody in the PR department, and they'll unearth a gem. You know, do you realize that this is the ninth time in the last 13 years that we've had to play on the road against this division opponent in the last 6 weeks of the season? Or, oh, my goodness, you know, here we go again, having to play that team coming off their bye in their building. Those are the kind of things that we're sort of holding our breath on and hoping nobody unearths in the next 24 to 48 hours. I would tell you what I think we're proudest of is the fact that hopefully no team feels really disadvantaged and no television network feels completely ignored. I think this is a pretty fair and balanced schedule across all 32 teams and all of our network partners.
So what you're saying is you and the staff that you work with in the New York office has an unintended hundreds of fact-checkers in every NFL organization that are then going through and looking through the schedule to see if they can come up with anything that you may have inadvertently overlooked.
Everyone's an expert on schedule release day. We are used to being told all the things we've done wrong.
Is there one matchup here that you are most looking forward to seeing on this schedule, Michael?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I think, like most fans, I'm pretty eager to see the Super Bowl rematch, you know, Falcons-Patriots. And that's a real good example. As we deploy all these people on the beach and we tell them to go find the best grain of sand, what's the best use of the Falcons at Patriots game? A lot of people thought it would have made it for a real good kickoff game. Week 1, come right back with the Super Bowl rematch. You know, we didn't end up doing that because we had decided that we were going to open up the Falcons' new stadium in week two on Sunday Night Football on NBC, and you're not going to go with the same team on NBC weeks one and two. So we weren't going to use Atlanta, New England for kickoff, but is it a Sunday Night Football game on NBC? Is it a Sunday afternoon Fox doubleheader game at 4:25 Eastern? Is it a cross-flex game? Could we have taken that game from Fox? They still would have had, you know, 8 or 10 dynamite doubleheader games. We could have given that game to CBS and had that be a 4:25 doubleheader game with their new lead analyst, Tony Romo. Would have been interesting. We could have put that game on Monday Night Football. ESPN certainly would have loved to have seen that game on the MNF slate. We could have put that game on Thursday Night Football. There's a lot of things you could have done with that one game. How do you get maximum value out of that one game? Multiply that conversation by all 256 games, and that's sort of what we're dealing with here. How do you figure out how to maximize the value of each one of these 256 assets and deploy them across 17 weeks? Some of these games are better early. Some of these games might be better later in the season. We like to mass our division games later in the season. You know, certainly some cold weather late in the season, always good. Some snow, some cold weather. That's the kind of discussion and decision that goes into every single game. So what I look for as a fan is some of these interconference games where these guys don't play each other but once every 4 years and technically once every eight. So Atlanta at New England this year, they won't play each other again in Foxborough for another 8 years. You know, Green Bay at Pittsburgh, Kansas City at Dallas, things like that. As a fan, you know, those are the ones I'm looking forward to. And, you know, we've got all our notes and all our hopes and wishes. And then the season starts and it kind of out of your hands at that point. You know, some of our best laid plans from last year didn't actually end up panning out. But for every game that kind of fell apart on you, there's another game or two or 10 or 20 that emerge as being interesting, and it's always fascinating to see where those fall.
So being that we're taping this right at about the time the schedule is being released, and being that I don't even know exactly when Atlanta is playing at New England, when did you place that game?
We decided to put that game on the NBC schedule, Sunday Night Football, and put it in week number 7. Sort of not too early because, again, like we said, we know New England's going to be on NBC in week 1. And now we know that Atlanta is going to be on NBC in week 2. So you put Atlanta and New England against each other right in the middle there, kind of in October, before you get into some of the Thanksgiving and the December run to the playoff stuff. But after the season has started, begun, and maybe some storylines have emerged, one way or another, this is going to be, you know, a rematch of a fantastic Super Bowl, or at least a historic one. Mm-hmm. And wherever you played it, you were probably going to get pretty good bang for your buck out of it. I think we like it kind of right there in the middle. Hopefully both teams get off to decent starts, and as opposed to saving that one in your pocket and putting it in December, and then, you know, one or both teams have struggled or you know, clinched, then that big magic Super Bowl rematch that you could have gotten a lot of value out of now becomes somewhat meaningless. So probably better to put it early and at least get, you know, that in the bank for our fans and for our television partners.
Is that during a time of sweeps too, by the way?
No, I don't think so. I think the sweeps this year are a little later, 8 through 11, usually right up before Thanksgiving.
Now, you mentioned Tony Romo. Was there anything that you took into consideration with him being the lead analyst at CBS in terms of making the schedule?
Honestly, no. We didn't think about him as a lead analyst. Don't forget, while we were in that room cranking through schedules, he was still a possible quarterback of the Houston Texans or the Denver Broncos or the Dallas Cowboys. So we were watching, you know, your Twitter feed and trying to figure out where is Tony Romo going to land, and if he signs tomorrow with the Texans, what would we do to adjust, again, that grain of sand that we're looking for? If all of a sudden Tony Romo is the quarterback of the Texans, the grain of sand you were looking for yesterday is different now, because all of a sudden you've got a Houston at New England game, which is Tony Romo going up against Tom Brady. That's a game that probably demands a national television window. That's one that our fans are going to want to see. It probably wouldn't be our best schedule if that game is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday with 9 other NFL games going on and only available in 20% of the U.S. households. So we were watching, like everyone else, trying to figure out, hey, what would we do if Tony Romo signed with the Texans? Would all of a sudden that Houston at New England game be a candidate for kickoff? What if Tony Romo signed with the Denver Broncos? All of a sudden, that Dallas-Denver game takes on a whole different set of meanings. So we were following along like everybody else, waiting to see what happened. I can't say that we went back and changed the grain of sand we were looking for simply because CBS had a new lead announcer.
Before I let you go, Michael, I should ask you, what are your impressions of the ESPN Monday Night Football schedule, and what can you share about that?
Well, I'll tell you, ESPN was very specific in their ask this year. And that's not to say that in other years they aren't. All of our television partners want the same thing every year. Like we said, that Atlanta at New England game is a monster for anybody who gets it. You know, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, like we said, you know, an NFC East matchup, Dallas against the Giants. Any of those games, all of our network partners would be thrilled to have on their air. But ESPN was very specific in their request this year in asking for as many division games as possible. And as you know, we've been massing our division games sort of later in the season. So trying to find a Monday Night Football schedule with the right teams on and in the right games, and maybe try to step up our number of division games for Monday night. So that was ESPN's primary ask. And so as we set out to, again, search for this grain of sand, we told everybody we deployed on the beach, you know, don't come back with a Monday Night Football schedule with only two or three ESPN division games on it. Let's try to find one that has six or seven. And we were fortunate enough to land on one that had nine. Wow. So when ESPN received the phone call this afternoon and got their schedule, I think they were pretty happy with it. So frankly, if they're happy with it, we're happy with it.
Well, I hope everybody else is happy with your schedule, Michael. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today and explain some of the dynamics that go into making the schedule. I know it's an incredibly difficult task. I congratulate you on a job that I'm sure is well done, and thank you for making the time for us this afternoon.
Happy to do it, Adam. Take care.
Thank you.